Todd, would you come up and read the psalm for us today?
That's all right. Good morning, everybody. We'll read Psalms 52. It says, to the choir master, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Amalek. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor. You're a worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever, because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we are just so grateful that we can come together and worship you and sing your praises and dive into your word and get to know who you are. And Lord, we just ask that everything we do through fellowship, through music, through conversation, through interaction, through their message, that we bring glory to you and it's pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I ended the previous year talking to unity, talking about unity in the church. It is vitally important to have unity among the body of believers. It is vital. If we're not standing together, we tend to fall. And that kind of goes the same with communities and nations and things like that. If we're not united with one mind, then guess what's going to happen? Not a whole lot of good, is it? You can get divided and be led astray. Oh. So we're going to start the new year talking about it too. So might as well end it with that and start it with the new year. So we're going to be in Philippians 2. And we're not going to get through verse 4. I tried that this week. It just doesn't happen some days. You see so much cool stuff in Scripture that you just want to just go on and talk about it. It's great. The Bible is awesome to look at and to study, and you find new stuff all the time. Even though you read a book. How many of you read a book 3 or 4 times and read it again and you see something new? Most of us, right? Yeah. You always find that new piece of it. It's like God just opens up your eyes to that exactly when you need it. And that's what he does. And I like that. Nothing's boring. It's always interesting and fascinating. So Philippians 2, verses, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 4, and we will probably get 1 through 2 today. Yes. And it says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy being of the same mind, having the same love, being of full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So like I said last week, we looked at unity within the larger group. Unity within the church, we talked about how important it was to be of the same mind, of the same spirit, and to work together to accomplish a common goal. We talked about standing side by side. We talked about the illustration of using Roman soldiers as how they can't break. If you're going up for battle, you cannot break your formation because everybody's placed at a certain place, that's so redundant, at a certain spot, there we go, we'll get creative with the thesaurus, at a certain spot, and if they remove themselves from that spot, there's a hole where the enemy can come in, right? You know, we talked about how a guy on the front line is probably going to die, but he's there for a purpose. He could stop one or two pursuing enemies. But it's so important that the church be united and standing side by side. And we've talked about how it starts at the leadership. And if the leadership is not united as one, and if that's divided, the rest of the body sees that division, And then everything just falls apart. Then you just come in with people separating church more and more and more on minor issues, and sometimes they will compromise on the major issues as well. So that's why we need to have good, sound doctrine, good biblical teaching, and a strong leadership that stands up side by side, and along with the church standing up side by side, along with the leadership. It has to be together. In today's passage, we see that Paul is bringing it closer. He's talking now about individuals. So he went from the group standing now to individual responsibility. Because it starts with individuals. It really does. And we're going to look at today's passage as we read it and notice there's some similarities to last week. We looked at 1, 27 through 30 last week. And verse 1 in chapter 2. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Now as I read that, I noticed something it was missing. And some of you, who has an NASB Bible, raise your hand. NASB, you got one? NASB, anybody else? One? Who's got a KJV? I know there's a couple of King James. There's one? KJV. Okay. One and one. All right. So I'm missing one word from the ESV. That would be if. It was interesting to me. My translation, it says, therefore, if any encouragement in Christ, and it lists it. And then I went to the NASB and the KJV, because I like those two working together with them all. It says it gives me four if clauses. I understand what the ESV is doing. It's shortening it up. It's the same thing, but for me, it's easier to read if I see all the words. And even in the Greek, it has the if in there. So I'm not sure what the ESV were doing on that translation day. So I always tell you to get a couple other translations and read them. So, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. See, I like that a little better. Clarifies it up. Four if clauses in the Greek. And these translators got it right. If they do these things, then this should lead, as Paul explains in verse 2. So the first clause, we're going to look at the clauses first, the four clauses. Encouragement in Christ. This is better understood as if you have any encouragement from being in Christ. Any encouragement from being in Christ. The source of encouragement is Christ. In the community, the encouragement goes from Jesus, encouragement from Jesus goes from person to person. So if you're finding your encouragement in Christ, you're going to tell others about it. Hansen, he goes on to say, the word encouragement has three meanings, an act of emboldening one another in belief or course of action, two, a strong request, three, lifting of another's spirits. All these definitions include teaching, request, and comfort. See, the encouragement is living the gospel of Jesus. The believer is to be encouraged by Christ and to display that same encouragement to others by telling them where their encouragement came from. And when you think about that, are you encouraged by Christ? Are you? Can you tell it's coming from Him? Because we can go through some difficult times, and where does our encouragement come from? Christ. He keeps encouraging us. As too, we should be encouraging one another as well in our walk, in our faith. And Jesus does the same thing for us. And next is comfort from love. And I'm going to combine these two. Comfort from love. Does the believer have any comfort from love? This word comfort is better translated consolation. It is, the literal meaning is speaking closely with someone. It has a sense of giving comfort and support. Now again, you can see how closely it's related to encouragement because it's marked by a genuine concern and love for them. and being helpful. So if any have comfort from love, they are consoled by Christ's love for them, his unconditional love. And it almost seems to contradict what Paul normally says. Comfort from love, and he always promises suffering, doesn't he? But it really goes together, doesn't it? It really goes together. The unbeliever cannot fathom this because it doesn't make logical sense. And I'm a logical guy, so I really have to struggle with it sometimes. So what it is if you're ever feeling at your lowest, if you're ever feeling like things are not turning out for the best. I know some have been in the hospital lately and they didn't know the outcome. They didn't know what was going to happen. And we see that with a lot of Christians. They go into the hospital. They could be on their last days. You ever notice a Christian on their last days? How are they? If you've ever been around them. There's this peace that comes over them. This sort of comfort. I can't imagine it. But it's this peace in knowing. They know what's going to happen. And they know where they're going. They have comfort in the Word of God. They have comfort in God's promise. They know that God loves them. And if you're in Christ, he's going to keep those promises of eternal salvation, of eternal security. You're going to be with him forever. And then you look at the unbeliever who is passing away. You ever seen one of them too? Some of them fight it to the very bitter end. It's very sad to see. But even in the worst times, you're like, God, you've got this. It's in your hands. So even if you know if you're going to make it out or don't know, there's always that comfort that comes from him. I know during some of my experiences, I'm like, God, I'm not ready to go yet. I don't want to go because I've got this, this, and this. I've got family. I've got this. And then I get to thinking, who am I to say that I'm better than God is at taking care of people? If God calls me home, is he going to take care of the stuff I need to? Yes. He will take care of the things that he takes care of. He uses us for the time being, but then he's bigger than us, right? He's way bigger than us. He's got a plan, and we don't see it all. We just see it moment by moment as we go through it. And yet there's comfort in that, isn't there? There's comfort from his love. There's encouragement knowing that things are going to turn out for his best, right? Going to turn out for his best. So there's encouragement, and there's love, and that comfort. And then we move on to if there's any participation in the Spirit. This word participation, it is from the Greek word koinonia, and which is better translated fellowship. And the root of that, which is kind of interesting, is koine, meaning common. So the scripture was written in koine, Greek, the common language of that time. And we got this word built off of it, the koinonia, the fellowship. It describes the partnership and mutual sharing is what it describes. However, there's a little bit more in this context. And that fellowship is intimate because the believer is a temple for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who seals the believer for salvation. So at the moment of Christ saves you, you are then sealed for salvation. And you will have your eternal inheritance, and he does a number of other things he does. All believers have that personal closeness with him because he is with them. The Spirit is inside of us. He indwells us, which is another huge study on how that all happens too, but we're not going into that. So as the Spirit seals us and dwells in us, he guides us. He guides us to do certain things, to behave certain ways, and to bring attention to our minds when we're lose focus sometimes. See, the Holy Spirit, he's a marvelous person. Of the Trinity. However God works in three persons, I have no clue. So once you get that figured out, please let me know too, because I've been trying to figure out the triune, one God, however that happens. You can get lost. Anyways, I'm back. So we have this, so the believer has a spirit indwelled within him, again, guiding him and telling the believer how to handle certain situations. And it is our responsibility to be sensitive to him, right? Because there's one thing that really struck me when I was studying, the big word is pneumatology, but the study of the Holy Spirit. When I was studying that, you can grieve the Spirit. You can grieve him. And that comes by not listening to him. That comes by participating in a sin, whatever that may be for you, and then having this remorse, and then you repent, and then you go back and do the sin again, and then you repent, then you do the sin again, and then you may wait a little longer to repent because it's not near as bad. Then you keep doing the sin all over and over again, and guess what? He's not going to talk to you anymore. He's going to be quiet. Like, fine, you want to go, I'll give you some leash. And in that aspect, you're grieving him because you're not listening to him. So he's going to say, okay, fine. You want to go do it? Go do it. I'm not going to stop you. And then it becomes our responsibility to figure out what has happened. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. We sinned. Now we need to correct that relationship with God. That means getting back into his word. Because normally if you're into sin like that, are you in his word a lot? Are you talking to him? Are you praying to him? Are you doing the things you should be doing to please him? And that's what happens as we get off of that stuff and we start falling into other things. But we have this participation spirit to where we have the Spirit and he guides us and he leads us. And as a church, he gives us spiritual gifts and we are to use them and not ignore them. So if you have your spiritual gift and you're not using it, you're wasting it. If you don't know what it is, figure it out. Figure it out. And that's another sermon anyways too, so give you something to chew on this week. And the final, if any affection and sympathy. Now these are distinct qualities but are remarkably similar. First one relates to feelings, and the second one, the feelings and made known or the manifestation of the first. The word affection is having a deep longing for one. Sympathy or compassion is the concern for others. Something else that the believer has is this. Is if you have Christ, you should have a concern for the church. You should have a concern for those that are part of the church, those that are struggling or suffering. There's this concern. And some of us deal with this concern differently because God made us all different. It's if you see somebody that needs help, and then you're like, oh, that breaks my heart because they're not doing well. What can I do to make that situation better? And then you respond to that feeling in the way that you can. And there's different ways to go about doing that. Sometimes it's just being there for somebody, listening. It's that easy. Although most of the time, I just want to fix things. Somebody comes to me with a problem. Hey, let's fix this. And then I get some of those other ones that people come in and they tell me something and not much surprises me after 12 years of in ministry and 3 years in a pawn shop. yeah, I've heard a lot. Yeah, I'm not surprised too much. But there are some that like, oh boy, how do I help you? And sometimes I want the right words. I want to say the right words. And I don't have them. Y'all ever been there? I don't have the words. But it's just that wanting the help, that desire. And sometimes being quiet is some of the best things we can do for people. Just give them an attentive ear. Just listen. Just listen. Now, my old pastor said, put your listening ears on. When we went to visit a certain member of the church, his name was Roy. I could say his name. But he goes, hey, when we go see Roy, it's not a 15-minute trip. It's over an hour. Just listening to him. Story after story after story after thing after thing after thing. And he does all the talking for you. but he really enjoys it when you're there just listening. That's one thing that we can do, is just listen sometimes. And that's what this is, you know, have that concern for others, whether they're doing good, doing bad, have that concern, and then acting on it, on the way God made you to act on it, because he's made us all different. And some people don't even want what's going on to be made known. A lot of people like that private. I think this area, we normally, most of us are pretty private people, aren't we? And some like to say what's going on. Some have more courage than I do. There's some who like to tell the whole church, which is really good to do because the church is praying for people. That's really good to do. Others are kind of stubborn, and I'm one of those, and keep my problems to myself, and have a select few know about them and do it that way. And God still works through those, doesn't he? Whether the big groups of people or one or two get together and pray, or just one praying, does God listen to one prayer? Yes. Yeah, there we go. I thought I'd say it for you. Yes. Yes. And he'll listen to a bunch of prayers. He really does. He's amazing. And then, and then Paul continues telling the people that if they have these things, these four ifs. And here's the deal. These four ifs kind of go together. I don't think you can separate them out. They all kind of build on one another, and they're all together. Then they can complete Paul's joy by living them out. All right, remember I told you to read. Okay, now read your Bibles. When you read them slowly. Okay, read your Bible slowly. I don't want any speed readers. I don't care if you can read Genesis in 20 minutes. You're missing a lot doing that. You're missing a lot. And in this, I missed something. I was going through it. In my translation and the other ones I use, there's no then clause. If you have an if, usually there's a then. If you do this, then this will be the result, right? In our English language. So I was looking for this word then in my whole passage. It's like, where's the then? As I was reading it, affection and sympathy, complete my joy, being of the same mind, having the same love. Where's the then? So I went to my favorite translations. I got four of them, and they didn't have them. Until I went to an older one that I used to use, the NIV 84. I still like that one, although mine's falling apart. Verses 1 and 2 reads, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. The other ones don't have the word then. The Greek has the word then in it, but it's translated to something else. So now we have just to figure this out on this then, on what is going to make Paul's joy. Is this about Paul or something else? And that's one thing you want to kind of look at with this. See, I believe that was the main intention for this then to be there. Then the result. Then, so if you have these things, and then you should live this out, which does not contradict Scripture. It does not add anything to it. It enforces other ideas in Scripture. So I'm not adding or subtracting when we put the word then in there. So I think the NIV 84 did it justice by doing that. By translating it that way. See, Paul wants to see Paul's joy is to see these people live out their faith. That's his joy. It would make him joyful if they did their part and lived the gospel for Jesus. So the way to do this is being of the same mind, having the same love, being a full accord and of one mind. Kind of sounds a little familiar to last week's. It's got the same kind of wording in there a little bit. I was to look at this, something unique popped out to me. And it starts with the mind, and it ends with the mind. So something really important about that. And I like the ancient writings, because ancient writings, you can repeat yourself with the same words, and nobody's going to critique. What? Thank you. Yes, that word. That a couple others I really struggle with. Because they like to use it. Nowadays, we have to use a thesaurus so we don't sound repetitive. That's why I like the older writings. They keep it simple. They keep it simple. So that tells me that it could be the starting point of the issue and the end point of the issue. So being of the same mind means to be like-minded. I got some bad news for you. I had to learn this the hard way. We don't think alike because not everybody agrees with me and the way I think, which is good. We see things differently sometimes. No one is ever going to think the same as others. Believe it or not, we're humans, and we think differently. Now, Paul is talking about achieving a common understanding of the task at hand, meaning to be a good citizen and live the gospel. They are to focus on the things that they're doing and focus on Christ so he can guide them in their task. That is one thing we need to be conscious of, is to focus on Christ while we're doing things, whatever that may be. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live in accordance with the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So we focus on Christ. Where's our minds going to be at? On Him. And we'll touch on this a little bit more. And when we think of things of the world, what are we going to put in our minds? Things of the world, right? How many of us get so indulged in politics we forget other things are going on? Pretty easy right now because things are interesting. Things are interesting. You don't know what's going to happen. But you see how that can lead you astray. If you put so much trust in the world, you're going to lose on who's really in charge. And then Paul tells them to have the same love, referring to the love of Christ, the love that God shows us. Do you guys know that God, where's that at? That God loves us? Who's heard that? God loves you. I better see everybody's hand. This is there. Get you guys waking up. Get the blood flowing just a little bit. My heart rate's up. So, God loves us. 99% of churches will tell you that God loves you. That's true. But let's never overpower the love. Yes, God is love, but is God just? Does he turn a blind eye to sin? No. So if you say God is love, you have to say God is just. Because he has standards, right? God has standards. So yes, God does love us. He really does. With a love that we cannot even begin to understand. And here's the deal. We need to show that love to others. We need to show that love to others. This is doing what Jesus did on earth. Now, this can be so hard for some of us. This word tolerant has good connotation and negative connotation. We are to be tolerant of people. We are to be helpful of people. We are to show them love, but we must never accept the sin as being okay. Our job is to love people, show them the truth. I'm not telling you to go and befriend the worst sinner that you can, just hang out every day with them, because that's going to wear you down a lot. That's a big fight there. What I'm telling you is to be available to those who really need it, because we can preach all day to people about that's a sin, that's a sin, that's a sin. Don't do that, don't do that. Then we start sounding legalistic, and then we're not reaching them with love. We need to be there for them and reach out to them and give them truth in the way that is best for that situation. And, of course, being led by the Holy Spirit, which means you got to be in your Bible, you got to be in the Word, you got to be talking to Him. And, of course, this Greek word is agape. It's the agape love that God's people should do their best to display because of what Jesus had done for us. How many of us deserve heaven? good nobody. Nope. But he loves us. He sent his son to die for us. And it's amazing to think of that, God, we couldn't do this on our own. We couldn't save ourselves. God knew that. Again, God allowed Adam and Eve to rebel against him so he could be glorified. So God could show his mercy and his grace to us. And hey, guys, I did the work. I did the work so you can be saved. The love that he has for us. Love that he has. Next thing is united in spirit. This is more explaining on having the one mind and the same love. They need to work as one for the gospel of Jesus, to be united, one spirit, to live selfless harmony with other believers. If one is going to live in one spirit, they must be grounded in sound doctrine. Must be. They should have a desire to serve God and to be in his word. They should have a love for God and his people. I can't stress on how much important sound doctrine is. You have to know what your Bible says. I'm not telling you to be a scholar. I'm not telling you to be a Greek scholar. I'm not telling you to do that. Be in his word. I said, don't speed read through your scriptures. Take time. If you read a paragraph a day, read a paragraph. But take time. It's the quality of time. Not the amount that you read. It's the quality you put into it. Read it. You ever question it? Question it. Why is this here? Why isn't that there? And research it. I'm not telling you to read a whole book in a week. I'm telling you to read little parts, if that's all it may be. If you're used to reading only for 5 minutes, kick it up to 5 minutes and 5 seconds. I don't care. Get some out of it, but don't speed read. Concentrate. Meditate on it. That's so important, to meditate on the Word of God. So that way, you cannot be led astray. Final one is one mind again, he ends it. It's a repeat. It is important. And I believe we need to have a mindset to live for Jesus. It starts with the mind and it continues with the mind. See, Paul wants the people to put Christ first in their minds. Guys, Christ first. Christ first in your minds. For the believer, they have Christ and are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have that already in us. And now you need to live like it. There's a verb, to live. You need to live like it. Do things. The believer has comfort in Christ, has encouragement, and they participate in the Spirit. We have all those benefits. We need to live them out. One thing Paul repeated is have one mind. Have one mind. Have one mind. We need that as a church. We need that as fellow believers in Christ, to have that. I firmly believe that what we take into our mind will come out of our life and our speech. So we need to be careful on what we entertain our minds with. We need to use caution on the things we watch and know when to get out of a situation. Things come into our mind by watching and hearing for the most part. Yes, there's the other senses that enter your mind. But what we hear and what we see. Now, who remembers when the movie Elf came out? Great movie. Hope I can say that. And one thing I really enjoyed about that was one of his quotes. He said, my favorite thing is to be happy. I love being happy. And I would repeat that. And I usually like goofy movies. I usually do. I like to laugh. I like to do that. And that's what came out. That's what put into my head. Yes, I maybe watched it way too many times. Way too many times. I think at when I worked at the pawn shop, we watched Finding Nemo 6 times in one day. Yeah, it was. You just keep swimming, see? See? Look what you put in your mind, no? Yeah. But here's the deal. I'm not going to tell you what you can and cannot watch. You guys know. You guys have a good understanding on where your line is drawn at. Now, I can watch something and say, oh, that's, you know, it's good imagination. It's a good storyline. and not have it affect me. Others it affects. There are some things that you guys can watch that I can't watch because it leads me into things I don't want to be led into. We all have a difference in that. And we need to be careful. We need to be sensitive. If the Spirit's saying you don't do that, then I encourage you, don't do that. If you can't bring glory to God, then don't do it. You need to compare all things with Scripture and use discernment. You really do. One thing that's very important is discerning truth from fiction. One thing I need you guys to be very cautious of on where you get your theology from. Where do you get it from? From God's Word? I hope so. Or do you get it through televisions, movies, or music? How many of you like Christian music? Good. How many of you really cringe when you listen to Christian music? Because the message is just horrible in it. Yeah. It has this Christian label. It's like, oh, it's Christian, it should be really good. What is he saying? Is that truth? Is that truth? That's where discernment comes in. And being in the Word. That way you can not be led astray and stay on biblical truth. Because there are some that come across as Christian that are not. And I got big into Christian music years ago when we played for entertainment. We toured the big state of Wyoming. Boy, howdy. We were big, and we even made it to Rapid City one time. Played in the Fuel House Coffee. That's not there anymore. Played in Montana once. Yeah. So we got into that Christian realm of music, and it is weird. It is very weird. Had this opportunity to be signed by a band to get a label. And right at that time, we actually played with a band that was signed, and they wanted to sign us. And at that time, I was looking at youth pastoring in a different place. And the lead guitarist was looking at going away and being a pastor in another place. So God led us out of there. And there were some weird stipulations that went in with that. So I'm glad we didn't go into that. So we can see those situations, we can need to know when to back out. Now the other issue, now this I could ruffle a couple feathers, so bear with me, okay? Do I have time? Yes. The Shack. Who's heard of that? The book, The Shack. Yes, okay. The Shack is one of those things. How do I put this? I'm going to be blunt and I'll tell you my point. It's a book for entertainment. Okay, it's a book for entertainment. It's the work of imagination. The author, as I was researching this, now I haven't read the whole thing. I've got other bad readings that I like to read rather than this. The author thinks he's doing good, but can lead people astray. Now, there's nothing hugely heretical about it. Nothing hugely. There is a part to where he talks about, paraphrasing this, about God just passing over sin. Your guilt is good enough to pay for sin and all of this. And God is just about love. And the one thing that really got to me was when they called God a woman. The female pronoun. And it bothered me a lot. Because all the way through Scripture, is God defined in the masculine or the feminine? Masculine, right? We can't argue that. God is in the masculine. And it seems like a weird thing to stand on, but it's actually a big thing that could start to other things. And it really could. And what? The other experience that I had was I was at a conference a few years ago in Omaha. And the worship leader was praying. I remember him saying, Some call, during his prayer, he said, some call you Father God, other of us call you Mother God. And that immediately got my attention. So I perked right up and I looked around, see if it sparked anybody else. Nobody else. It didn't even faze them. It's those little tiny things that can end up big. If this doesn't affect you, what does? How far do we have to go? We had a discussion at camp this year. Trevor was with me. I think Trevor was, you were discrediting something, weren't you, Trevor? I'm going to put you on the spot. Yeah, he's trying to make a point. And he's, do you remember what was said?
Something to the effect of, therefore, we can conclude by reading this passage that Jesus is not God and was only a man.
Yeah, Jesus is not God and only a man. And he said that out loud. We were in this room and we were getting ready for a staff training, I think is what it was. And all of a sudden, people perked up from across the room. And even the manager perked up. And he looked at me, who is this guy? I said, that's Trevor. He's, we're working on him.
Can you go ahead and clarify that in sarcastic?
Oh, you're being sarcastic? We've been praying for you. No, yeah. Yeah, no, he was trying to play devil's advocate, you know, and getting people to think. Because we had a discussion, I think it was about Jehovah Witnesses or something. And, you know, proving our point, and he was playing that side. But I like it that people perked up. They heard something that wasn't true and said something. We've gotten so lazy, we don't say anything. Well, somebody else is going to say it for us. Right? Yeah. It's been happening a lot lately. It has. And we need to stand up to bad theology. We need to stand up to bad teaching, to false teaching. We need to be like-minded is to be in the Word. Be in the Word. Follow it. If we have bad theology, we're not like-minded. We're not like-minded. There's going to be fights, division over the major things. I like having fun over the minor things. Those are great, but not over the majors. I'm not going to back down. Don't fall for bad theology. Have an idea on what the Bible says. Again, read it. Don't speed read. Don't skim. Read it. And pray. Ask God to illuminate you, to open up your eyes to His Word, because you need that prayer, need that closeness. Then we can have intelligent conversations, which are fun to have. We can help one another. We can challenge one another. We can go deeper. Be one-minded to Scriptures. Apply the Word of God. Serve one another as Christ did. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we can study it. We thank you that we can read it. We thank you that we still have it. Lord, you've given us a lot through your word. To be like-minded, to be one in you, to be the body of Christ, to work together as one for your common good, to live the gospel, to show other people who you are. Lord, you have done great things and you continue to do great things. Help us to focus on that. Help us to keep our mind focused on you. Help us to watch what we put into our heads and help us to live out your word. Help us to focus on you, put you first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen.